Good afternoon. Go ahead and open to the book of Amos. We've been talking about in class the captivities, talking of Assyria and Israel and then Babylon and Judah. Amos wrote to the northern tribes, to Israel, and he wrote to them at a time where they were at the peak of their success. They didn't like him talking to them because he was telling them all these bad things were going to happen. Much like every other prophet that was telling them, if you guys don't get right, then you are going to incur punishment from God. Amos tells them this, and he makes it a point to tell them something that they might not have understood. Go to Amos chapter 4. Go to Amos chapter 4. And notice verses 6 and following. Amos chapter 4 and verse 6. Amos point-blankly tells the nation of Israel, "And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." God tells Israel through Amos, "I made you guys starve." And the point of allowing this to happen was, any time in the past something bad happened to you, you return to me. But this time you haven't. Verse 7. "And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest." He continues, your harvest was white, you guys were ready for the harvest, but the most important ingredient to it, the rain, I withheld it at the most crucial time, adding to your starvation. Continue with me. "And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered." He said, not only did I withhold the rain, but I would make it rain in one place, and everyone would flock to there to get to water, to get to that thing that you have to survive. And then I would make it stop raining. Continue. "So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." He makes it a point again. I made you thirst for water. I made you starve. I wanted it to bring you back to me. I was expecting it to bring you back to me. But it didn't. Verse 9. "I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." The palmer worm, you can think of the locust. They come in and they eat everything. They leave nothing behind. Blasting and mildew, you can just think of other natural things that cause stuff to wither or to not survive. God again says, I sent locust unto you. You can read through Joel, and that part of there, it talks of the different stages of the locust and how each different stage takes something away from what you could eat. God says, I sent the locust, I ruined things that you needed, and yet you still did not return to me. Verse 10, "I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain." You went to battle, your young men, your arm of defense, the people that you depended upon to protect your older people, your children and your wives, I have let them die in battle. "With the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." So he lays out, I made this happen. I allowed this to happen. I allowed this to happen. All of these things I did so that you would finally return to me as you had in the past. And you still didn't. You still have not come back to me. You still have not come back to your first love, you could think of it. So notice verse 11. And 12. "I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God." He tells them point blank, you haven't returned to me, therefore prepare to meet your end. You weren't prepared earlier. You didn't come back to me when you saw that you should have. This time, prepare for the worst. Go to Matthew 24 now. Most of the time when we look at Matthew 24, or when it's talked about, it might be when it's preached from the pulpit that people are refuting the premillennial doctrine of that Christ is giving signs of when he's going to return to establish his earthly kingdom, as the premillennial people say. Others, they might be pointing out that he is talking of AD 70 when the temple was destroyed. I want us to look at it in a different way. I want us to look at it that God is telling his people to be prepared. Start with me at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are all the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated to all nations, of all nations, for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. God is telling them, be prepared for the worst. Look at verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. He says, you're going to be persecuted. Be prepared for it. And he says, when you see this happen, be prepared to flee. And he tells them, be prepared at a moment's notice. Verse 17. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. He goes on in verse 21 to talk of great tribulation. The noted Jewish historian wrote of the taking or the destroying of Judea or of Jerusalem. He noted that the Christians fled as they were told to. Those that stayed in the city, he talked of great tribulation being that the streets ran with blood, that bodies were stacked up. Those Christians that were prepared, if he reported it correctly, he said there was not one in the city of Jerusalem when it fell. Now, look at the warning Christ gave, and look at how he had warned Israel through Amos. What should we take from that? What should we take from the people in Amos' time not being prepared? And what should we take from the Christians that one didn't die? Now go to James with me. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, start at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If we are prepared, knowing that life is not going to be a box of chocolates, knowing that we're going to be on a roller coaster, we're going to have our lows and we're going to have our highs, then unlike Israel, at their worst times, we're going to know that God is still there for us and that we can turn to him. And we'll know that, like in Matthew 24, when we're told, be prepared, when you see this happening, flee. If we know that something's coming, we'll know to listen to God because he has told us what to do. And as it says in John, or actually 1 John, his will for us is not burdensome. It's meant to be for our own benefit. We're supposed to be prepared. And tonight, you have the opportunity to be prepared for judgment, to be prepared for what comes after death. Because as we read in Hebrews chapter 9, we're all going to die. Every single one of us here, we don't know when, we don't know how, but we will die. You can be prepared for what comes after that. And you can do it by heeding God's will, listening to what He says. If you're not a Christian, you must hear what you've just done. You must hear the word. You must believe it. And not just, oh, I believe, but actually accept it as truth. And act on it as truth. After you've believed it, you must confess. And confess what? Confess that you have made mistakes. Confess that you have sinned. And then you must repent of those sins. Change of mind that leads to a change of heart. You can think of it, change of mind that leads you in a different direction. Instead of going the way you had been, you do a complete 180 and start going the way God wants you to. Once you have confessed, once you have repented, you must then be baptized for the remission of sins. And not just a little sprinkling of water on your head, you must be overwhelmed by water. You must be fully submerged. And after that, you must live faithfully. You must continually be prepared for your death or for Christ's return. And there are some here that they were prepared at once. They've heeded His will, but they've let the struggles of life, they've let something come in between them and God. You can become prepared once again. We're here to help you in any way, whether that be asking for the prayers of the church or whether that is to be here to encourage you week in and week out, day in and day out. If you have any needs and you find yourself subject to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing.